let's talk local elections. Now, a lot of us are out this weekend voting in council elections. There were 46 New South Wales councils that went to the poll, including 20 of the newly redesigned amalgamated ones. Everything's still being counted. It does look like we're seeing some interesting trends, however. Dr. Blair Grant is senior lecturer at the UTS Institute for Public Policy and Governance and recently co-authored a book called Local Government in Australia, History, Theory and Public Policy. Dr. Grant, very good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, results, as you've pointed out, have a little way to go before we've got a full run-up. Are we seeing some clear trends at the moment?
Well, we certainly are. We are seeing definitely a very, I suppose, predictable trend against the Liberal Party, considering that they attempted to execute the most disastrous local government reform program that's ever been devised by man or God in the history of the world, and that ran from 2011 and is in fact still going with high court challenges. So there has been a uniform swing, and I must say that I'm quoting the Sydney Morning Herald on these figures. I have something more to say besides just what James Robinson and his colleagues from the Sydney Morning Herald have squirreled up overnight, but we have seen a uniform swing against the Liberal Party of around about 5%, and in some Liberal Party strongholds of 10% and over. So that's been the reaction, I would say. Of course, there's not linear regression analysis to prove that it's a reaction against the reform processes, but there has been a swing against the Liberals, yes.
Is there any clear winners from that swing? Is it going one particular way?
No, it's a little bit more disparate than that. So we can't say, so people from the Labor Party can't, you know, hold their hands up high and say, hooray, we've done quite well. Although the Leader of the Opposition in the sovereign state of New South Wales, Luke Foley, is doing precisely that. So Labor's done quite well, and you would expect that to be the case. But as well, the Greens have done quite well in some specific areas, like the new Inner West Council, the, you know, hydra-headed monster that is, as well as some regional areas. So it's still playing out, but we have to realise as well that we've got what is now a very, very disparate and diverse local government sector in New South Wales. So we've got the new council of Canterbury Bankstown, which is over 350,000 people. So it's really like a large administrative region, as opposed to being anything that vaguely resembles local government as we understand it in this country. So we've got a local government area like that. And quite interestingly, people are talking about results from specific wards now.
Yes, I noticed that.
So they're not talking about the results from specific local government areas. They're saying, oh, congratulations, you've won this ward. So we're really talking about local government, how we normally or historically understand it, whereas in fact that's got actually nothing to do with the way that decisions are going to be made across these very, very large councils.
Yeah. Will swings like this have a flow-on effect for other levels of government?
Well, that's an extremely interesting question. What we've seen since 2000, in particular 2008 in New South Wales, is an increased party politicisation of local government in New South Wales in particular. And I must say, I have a series of excellent graduate students working on this, in particular Chris Dewhurst, who's the general manager of Hawkesbury Regional Council. I must say that because Chris is probably listening and he's thinking he's ripping off my research. But no, Chris, I'm not. We're doing it together. We're all in this together. So that's quite interesting, because it then becomes a question of to what extent party politicisation at a local level, given these larger councils, is going to align with state government and also federal government as well. So while local government is relatively trivial in the Australian Federation, because of its enlargement, we could see an increased synergy in party politicisation across the tiers of government. And that, believe it or not, for people like me, is quite an interesting phenomenon.
Why do you say that local government is a bit insignificant?
Well, because by definition it is. I'm not saying that it doesn't matter. I would be, you know, taken out the back and politely asked to go and find another job if I said it didn't matter completely. But we have to recognise that in Australia we have a federal system of government. So we have three tiers of government and two tiers of government in particular. So it's very different to a unitary system of government like the United Kingdom, where the only system of subnational government is in fact local government. And they don't actually vote that often. So, you know, they only vote once every 5 years in the United Kingdom. So that's, you know, for central government. So we have three different tiers of government. So, and state governments have always been responsible. Not only do they have huge bureaucracies that encompass areas of, for example, health and education, which is what local government looks after in other jurisdictions like the UK and the US, okay? But they have very broad remits as well. So in a lot of places, local government looks after stuff like the cops and the schools and the health systems, but here it doesn't so much. Well, in fact, at all. So for that reason, comparatively, local government doesn't have a broad remit in this country. It matters in terms of local democracy, yes, but we can see that that's being whittled away by, for example, Canterbury, Bankstown having 350 constituents. So there are some fundamental changes to the way that we're doing business and local government in this country.
See, that has always interested me because I was, you know, grew up with the impression that local government was about representation on a much lower level back up to the state.
Yeah. Well, in fact, they're meant to be symbiotic. They're meant, it's meant to be that sort of relationship. And if you read the academic history of local government, which, believe it or not, people like me are paid to do, you know, we've all got to do something. The metaphor of a mother and child or a farmer and his son, for example, are used in the 1960s to describe that relationship, sort of very, you know, sort of bucolic metaphors and quite patronising metaphors. And that's really the relationship that it is. And if you go to Macquarie Street and have and walk into Parliament House and have a look at the pictures of all the past representatives, you will probably notice some people from your local government area, you know, that have been mayors or councillors. And that's the way that it's meant to be, really, which says a lot about New South Wales and the way that some people's, well, at least some people's perceptions of the moral cogency of local government on the one hand and the moral cogency of our sovereign state government on the other. So they're meant to be symbiotic. But what's happened quite interestingly and very significantly in New South Wales in particular in the last five or so years is they've had a very antagonistic relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's extremely unfortunate and it's extremely dysfunctional. So one would hope that in the next few years, with the realignment of elections in 2020, so that we're all having local government elections at the same time, that that relationship, which is a very profound one, not just for the state, but for the federation, is patched up.
So just three short years till we get everything back on track.
Yeah, that's right. Just three short years to wait, and we'll see what happens in the interim. But yes, interesting times, not just for local government, but as you've said, for the relationship between state and local government, which is a very, very important one.
I think just finally, before we have to take off for the news, the results, as you pointed out, you know, we're still looking at court challenges around amalgamations, around what was happening, the redrawing of lines. Do you think these results are going to send a message? Do you think they're going to have an impact on what is happening in the courts around this?
No, absolutely not.
Not at all?
No. I've got enough faith in the judiciary at both the state and federal level to say that they will act with due diligence and proceduralism and not take any notice really of these elections whatsoever. well, I mean, that's their job is to not do that. And so, and to not, you know, exercise any degree of judicial adventurism. Because, well, for several reasons, it's not what they're meant to do, but also it's very, very important that they are seen to act not just with probity, but also to stabilise the system at the moment, because we've been through one hell of a ride.
We have.
For about 5 years. So the last thing you'd want to see is any kind of judicial adventurism with respect to, you know, what should come out of the court challenges, okay?
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Dr. Bly Grant. An illuminating pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.